All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And tonight, we're going to be looking at revealing the real treasure. And here we go, revealing the real treasure. And in Scripture, a number of times we are told about a treasure, that we have immense blessings. We have riches in who? Christ Jesus. And in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verses 1 through 11, Paul brings that up in the middle of that passage in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I want you to follow along as we look at these verses, verses 1 through 11 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll be looking at this matter, revealing the real treasure. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Father, would you teach us tonight from this passage, encourage us, help us to have a right perspective of even our own lives and what you want to accomplish in us for your glory. Lord, help us to marvel again at the riches and treasure that we have in Christ. Help us to leave no room in our minds for boasting in ourselves. May we point out Christ well to others who desperately need him. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, I was watching a documentary. How many of you like documentaries? About old things, like archaeology. And I was watching as they were excavating a historic site from Bible times. And one of the things that they are able to discern, the time periods and the kinds of people, even what groups of people live, was by the pottery that they have and the kinds of way that they had made the things that they had made. And pottery lasts a long time. Now, often not in whole pieces, often in little shards and broken. In fact, recently I was up north with my parents, and my brother and his family were up there. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my family has a pastime in archaeology. Did you know this? Growing up, we would go out in fields and hunt for arrowheads. How many of you have ever heard of people hunting for arrowheads? Oh, hours upon hours. My grandfather did this, and he found over 1,000. My brother really got into it, and it's my brother Mark's real, he just enjoys it. He comes up from South Carolina, and all of his kids want to go out arrowhead hunting with him. And we all did this, and one of the places we went, there had been an old school on that area, and there were pieces of broken pottery, glasses, things that had been broken from the past. Not real old past, but more recent. But you'll find pottery, and it's all over the place. And it does, one thing that's very interesting about pottery is, it was what everybody used, like we now use Ziploc and Tupperware. If you were going to store stuff in the past, you used pottery. You didn't have Ziploc bags. Can you imagine a day without Ziploc bags? Or without Tupperware? We are, or Gladware, or whatever you call it now. Tupperware was a big thing when I was a kid. All that stuff that you put things in, they used earthen vessels. And that expression in verse number 7 of a treasure in earthen vessels is something we're going to look at tonight. Now, a clay pot was cheap. It was disposable. It was not a highly esteemed thing in and of itself. What was inside of it was worth something. Often, you would think of a vessel that was made of metal as being more valuable. Something was made from silver or from gold in that time, or bronze. But a clay pot was much more common, much more possible. The lowest uses might be used for something made out of earth. And we don't need to be descriptive, but those were also things that were easily broken. When you think of pots, all that shards of pottery I find all over the place, they are easily broken. How many of you have ever broken something made out of ceramic or pottery before? And they fall, and what happens to them? It just goes into a bunch of pieces. And a vessel itself was not the value. It was what was inside of it. In fact, in Bible times, one of the most valuable things you could put inside of a pot would be what? Well, yeah, gold is valuable. But what's even more valuable than gold when you're in a desert place?
Water.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows. Now you're thirsty, aren't you? Yes. Water's pretty valuable. And so what goes in the vessel is what's important. The pot itself is not the focal thing, but the treasure in which it might contain. And it was obvious that Paul was not consumed with the outward when he speaks of us being vessels, but that there was something that was valuable within. In fact, the outward is what our world is always focused on. What things look like, how people impress other people with their presentation of themselves, their speech. And Paul will say just flip a couple pages over. Chapter 10 and verse number 17. Chapter 10 and verse 17. Paul is not a person that's obsessed with outward things. He says in chapter 10, verse 17, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in..." Glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. What I'm thinking about is not what other people might say about me. What I'm about is not being glorying in myself or in appearances. I'm all about the Lord and letting the Lord be the one who gives an approval or disapproval. And I appreciate how Paul builds on that thought and brings weight on that subject later on in the letter. And this matter of the outward and our body is brought up in chapter 5, the fact that we're going to be clothed upon with immortality. Right now, we're in a body that's decaying, aren't we? This body is fragile, it is weak, and some of you are like, "Yes, Pastor, I feel that way right now. I'm tired. It's Wednesday. Don't make me fall asleep." You ever been there? Okay, yeah, Wednesday night, I know, it's hard. But when he speaks of this passage, he's bringing up in verse number 7 a treasure, a vessel, and power. And it's important to realize that all of those things are gifts that God intends for us to rightly steward. And tonight I want to point out to you the real value that you and I are to see. It's not in ourselves. And oftentimes we get kind of consumed with ourselves as the most valuable thing. And I think modern Christianity has done a lot of harm in what it tries to promote as God has a wonderful plan for you. And God wants to make something great of you. And really, Christianity for many has become a very self-improvement or self-glorifying thing. That's not what Paul points out in this passage. In fact, it's kind of the opposite. And it might even feel like when you read this, that Paul is kind of demeaning the value of himself or of the person. But that's not his goal, to put someone down and make them feel bad. The point is that someone else is supposed to be really big. And if you make yourself big, someone who should be big is not. And the one who should be big is the Lord Jesus Christ. So in your notes tonight, number one, looking at verses 3-7, notice that Christ is our treasure. When he says we have this treasure in verse 7, what's the treasure he's talking about? Well, you've got to go backward and see it in verses 3 and forward. He says in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid it is hid to them that are lost. Okay, what's the good news? What's the gospel? What's the message he's talking about? Well, he goes on and says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Okay, what is it that he's preached then? If there is this blindness, if the God of this world is keeping people from seeing something that haven't believed and that doesn't want them to see something, what is it the God of this world does not want people to see? He doesn't want them to see who? Jesus Christ, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay, when you think of something shiny and you think of something that's bright and that's important, it's Jesus Christ. And the enemy of God does not want people to see Christ as the treasure. He doesn't want people to see winning Christ or gaining Christ as a good thing. In fact, how would he like to paint that? How would the enemy like to paint the idea of following Christ? This is going to be bad. It's going to be difficult. You're going to lose things. You're going to be oppressed. You're going to be persecuted. We're going to get to this more, but there is nothing worldly valuable about following Christ. There isn't. In fact, I think we as Christians have to admit that our reason for following Christ is not because there's a shiny $100,000 connected to it. There's not a shiny treasure in this life connected to it. In fact, the opposite is very possible. There may be the loss of much. So what does he say in verse 4? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach what? Verse 5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your, what's the next word? Servants for, this is really, let's try this again. In verse 5, we preach who? So you got to help me out tonight so I know you're awake. We preach who?
Christ.
We preach Christ, and we serve for whose sake?
Jesus.
For Jesus' sake. Now, that's what we see as valuable. Christ is the treasure. And he's the treasure. Why? And I think in Colossians 1:27, you don't have to turn over there, but it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the wonderful riches, Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. That's better than anything you can have in this life. Okay? Nothing in this life is of greater value than Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when we talk about the true treasure, Christ is the treasure. Christ is the most valuable thing that you and I can possess. And I want you to see another thing. The treasure in your outline there, the treasure of Jesus Christ, is the solution to man's sin. So whenever we use the treasure, who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. So the treasure is the solution to man's sin. Now, that's not a surprise that man has a problem, but God loved mankind and gave Christ to pay for our sin. And when he speaks in verse 7 that this treasure is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, in verse 4, what is the need for people seeing God correctly? What is it about seeing God correctly that man needs? Well, a person's not going to be saved if they don't see God correctly. A person who sees God as the one who's just going to give them profit and give them a happier life and give them, you know, I'm going to believe on him so I can have heaven, but they don't see that God is righteous and judges sin, they don't receive salvation. I'm going to be clear on this. If someone does not see that God is righteous and must judge sin, whatever it is that they're believing in isn't truly God, the God of the Bible, because their expectation is just in what am I going to get out of this? You see this? The truth is, the correct view of the glorious gospel is the fact that Christ, who is the image of God, would shine, and in shining to them, they would see that they are in sin, that they need help. Every single person is in need of that. Not one goes without that as their need. It says he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, to give the knowledge of it. Notice the second thing, letter B, this treasure is received by faith. This treasure is received by faith. In our passage, what is the condition of the person who is blinded by the god of this world? What does it describe them as? They are unbelieving, the Bible says in verse number 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So a person who has not believed is in a position of blindness. By the way, you ought to recognize that about the people you are trying to share Christ to. That there is a blindness in men's hearts. And the thing that is able to shine into their hearts and minds and convince them is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, convincing and convicting them of their sin. And our desire ought be to proclaim the Word so that the Spirit of God and the Word of God will convince them that they can believe, that they can have something other than this darkness that they live in. And the treasure is something that is by faith. In fact, Paul brings that up in his testimony when he says, and I've got it on the screen here for you, but you can look it up later, Acts 26. In Acts 26, Paul reminds, I think it's Agrippa he's with, how and what Jesus said to him. And this is a statement that's given to him to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light. And what else? From the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins. You see, the treasure is Christ, and he is the only way to have forgiveness of sin and peace with God. And you and I know that. But the church in Corinth needed to be reminded that the thing that is most valuable to any Christian is the truth that Christ died in our place so that we could have forgiveness. And what was he to make known? The forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Christ declares that there's an inheritance. When you think of inheritance, what do you normally think of? You know, you think of money or land or possessions or houses or cars. We think of treasure that is earthly, don't we? Okay, what is our treasure? Well, Jesus Christ. And everything that I have in him that enables me to be right with God, that enables me to have peace in this life, that enables me to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, all those fruits of the Spirit. All of that is because of Christ. Is that valuable to you? Is it valuable to this world? It really isn't. This world does not see all of that as valuable. They would look at that and say, that is a waste. When you can have everything else instead, why do you care about that? The value system of a Christian is an inheritance that is connected with that we are sanctified by faith that is in Christ. We are set apart. And that is something that is accomplished by faith. Just as we are saved by faith, that treasure of Christ is received in salvation by faith. How is it continually enjoyed, the treasure that is in Christ? How is that enjoyed by you and I? By faith. By continual dependence. Now, here's the thing that as Christians we've got to remember. That which saved me, Jesus Christ, is also the one who has everything I need for today. Everything. How many battles do you have coming up or that you are facing right now that you're tempted to take on your shoulders and say, I've got this. I can do it. I can figure this out. And you can't. And your value of yourself is great and your value of Christ has become what? Low. It's not very big. In fact, if you're not asking and depending upon the one who is able to save you, you aren't remembering how wonderfully rich his ability is in every part of your life. That's why I think speaking of this matter of faith when we have prayer meetings is a good idea. Because if I would recall how wonderful it is that he saved me, I would recall how wonderful it is to depend upon him for every other need that comes in my life. And so when Paul speaks of the treasure, he speaks of it as something that was received by faith. In chapter number 4, verse 13, he says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." Now, this is important to what he's talking about, and we're going to get into. Because I see this value in Christ, it impacts how I live and what I say and what I do in this life. I'm going to talk about the riches of Christ more if I continue to see it as great in value. And so we as Christians are to see this treasure is Christ. Here's the second thing. And here it is. The treasure is greater than the vessel. Look in our passage in verse number 7. Oh, let me get it back here. Here we go. Verse number 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Okay. Which is more valuable, the treasure or the vessel that it's in? The treasure, obviously, Pastor. It was interesting just thinking about how much a piece of pottery is made out of what? Clay. And what's clay? Dirt. It's a kind of dirt. What are we? Encouragement for Wednesday night. You're a piece of dirt. Truthfully, we're formed from the dust. We're going to return to dust. We like to think of our bodies as just being some kind of Superman, you know, when we're young. And I can take on anything and I can do anything. Look what I can do. I tell you that that is the most false thing you will think. You are weak. You're like, yeah, I feel weak. No, you're really weak even when you think you're strong. You are not the most important part of the universe. But don't we often think that way? Everything revolves around me. If I don't feel happy, well, then I want everyone to know it. If I don't have what I want, I'm just not going to be a happy camper. The value of the treasure is greater than that of the vessel. And I think Paul is interested in the church in Corinth having a correct value system in their mind. You know, Paul is often criticized even by the Corinthians for not being as physically impressive or as impressive with words as his opponents. And this is something we've got to be careful of today. Sometimes we get in our heads, what would draw people to the gospel? What would really be the best way to get people to the gospel? And we can become very incorrect in our thinking about what the packaging, I mean, you could use packaging. The treasure is greater than the packaging. You could say whatever the means are. But you and I are to be the communicators of the treasure, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get really too distracted with the package. Well, I want to make sure that it looks like this because that's what people want to see. No, friend. You chase that and you're chasing your tail. Because you'll keep trying to figure out what people want all your life and you will never find it. Our culture is not the pattern to figure out what to present the gospel with. All right? And just take note that those who want to be culturally accepted so that they can give the gospel don't end up giving the gospel. They end up giving culture back what culture already is. Culture does not need to hear more of itself. They need to hear something that is counter to the culture, but is timeless. Y'all are awake. Okay. This is timeless. Culture does not need you to just embrace it and make it feel warm and happy and fuzzy, and then they'll maybe listen to it. No, they need to be confronted with the truth. Yes, with love, but directly, this is the truth. And the treasure is what people need. In fact, he says again in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now, why is he talking about a gospel that's hid or something that's not being visible? Well, look on as he goes into the next thing. And this is important. the treasure is more important than the vessel. So why do sometimes we forget what the vessel's purpose is? What is a vessel used for? It's used for doing what? Transporting things, moving something from one place to the other. Okay, what is it that we carry? Well, we are transporters of the treasure. And the treasure is Christ. And Christ in you, the hope of glory, goes out into the community and interacts with people at the workplace and goes to your family and has conversations with extended family, has conversations with the person from India that's talking to you on the phone. You're like, you can share the gospel with people. Yes, you can share the gospel with anybody. In fact, you can also share a rotten attitude with people from other countries who talk to you on the phone, can't you? Pastor, I just hang up on them. Okay, fine. But don't be smart aleck and grouchy and think that it's okay because they are anonymous to you and they don't know who you are. You're a Christian regardless if they know you. You know that, don't you? You're a Christian when you're on the internet and no one knows you. No one sees you. You're a Christian. So speak like it, talk like it, and realize that you're the transporter to people of Christ. If they're going to see Christ, where are they going to see him? In earthen vessels. You're like, but why would God want Christ to be carried around in earthen vessels? Because, I mean, we're pretty pathetic sometimes. Aren't we? Like, yeah, I know you, Pastor. Pathetic. Well, we're not impressive because we are able to speak well. We're not impressive because we've got talents. We're not impressive because, well, you're just a nice person. Now, you know what we are? We're all rotten sinners. We are. And we are in need of His power to be of any help to anyone else. So why does God use us to transport the treasure? Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? What does it say in verse 7? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of... Okay, guess who is made big when weak things are used? God is. God is. The word power, it means force. And he uses the word excellency that is there. It's the idea of beyond measure. So power, beyond measure, this matter of excellency of the power. There is an immense amount of power that is demonstrated that is showing God, not you. In fact, the worst thing you and I do is try to do stuff in our power and think that we accomplish something good by it. Nothing accomplished good by our power. Dependence upon Him and His doing it as we see ourselves as weak vessels, He is glorified. It is God that's lifted up. And nothing is better for you and I to do than to say, God, I need your enabling. Now, what does He follow this with? Verses 8, 9, and 10. All right, I want you to catch this. Because the treasure, Jesus Christ, is visible by our response to difficulty. By our, and I should put in there, right response to difficulty. Because what does he say in verse 8? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. That's the next blank there. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Okay, now let's just stop there for a second. Have you ever been distressed? Okay, you're like, I'm an earthen vessel, Pastor, and there's pressure coming in on me, and I am distressed. Okay, guess what? You have an opportunity to be the vessel of something far more great, far more powerful than you. And when you do, people see the treasure, not you. When you and I are distressed, when we are despaired and despairing, who are they not seeing? They're not seeing the treasure. They're seeing you fail. And you know why you fail? Why I fail? When I depend upon myself rather than the treasure. Perplexed but not in despair. He says, persecuted but not forsaken. Now, that's a precious one because Paul knew what it was to be persecuted. To not be loved, to be spoken evil against, sometimes even by Christians. We're going to get to this in Romans chapter 12. But sometimes persecution comes from Christians. It doesn't just come from the world. It can come from your brothers and sisters in Christ, the people that love you. You can be spoken evil against. You can be done wrong against. And yet, when that happens, what does the one who treasures Christ see? I'm not forsaken. I'm not alone. I don't have to defend myself because he is still with me. Here's the third or fourth one. I can be cast down but not destroyed. You may feel like you've been dashed into 100 pieces, but you're still not destroyed. Because if you take this away, what do I still have? I have all of eternity. You realize, don't you, that our lives are fragile, don't you? Okay, but that also means what people can do to you doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things compared to what you have awaiting you. And we are often very defensive of ourselves, and you know, any poke that comes our way, we can feel like that just totally destroyed me. Really? I think all of us need to be taken down a lot of notches, down to all the way down to the dirt. You're like, that doesn't feel very comfortable. Yeah. Well, where did you start? What are you going to end as? What are you in this life, if you are anything? You are a vessel filled with a treasure, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of men, not of us. Notice with me finally, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, where? In our body. So the word body comes up twice. The idea of manifest, what does that word mean? To reveal, to show, to make it visible. Okay, how are people going to see the treasure that's in you? According to that verse. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Okay, what's Jesus and his dying illustrative? I better not try. What does it illustrate? What does Jesus dying illustrate? Selflessness. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my plans, not my desires, not what I want, but what he wants. Always bearing about in the body. You know where you're going to be hurt? By people? You know the words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Okay. In your emotions and in your body, you will be hurt. And you can be hurt. Right? Has anybody ever been hurt before? Oh, come on. Yeah. Okay, I can be hurt there. That's physical. All right. What is eternal and spiritual? What I have in Christ. So, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus. What's the life of Jesus? It's all the things that are supernatural and spiritual that you can't produce on your own. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. All of that stuff, you can't produce that on your own. That's supernatural, right? So the life of Jesus might be made manifest where? In this vessel. Where are people going to see Christ today? You say, well, they're going to see him in the Word of God. Yeah, but where are they going to hear the Word of God coming from? From you. They're going to hear the Word of God coming out of you. And you know what we ought to take to prayer tonight and very seriously consider? Thank you, Lord, for the treasure that we have. And God, help me to reveal that to people by your help, by your grace. I don't want to have any part of hindering that. I want to yield to what you want. And we could keep going, but in the latter portion of chapter 4 and into chapter 5, Paul talks about the eternal nature of his mindset about things. And, you know, that has to be on our head all the time, the eternal side of things, not the temporal, not the, well, what about what they just did? Well, what about how this worked out? I don't like this. I don't like how I feel right now. Okay, you know what? I don't live for me. I live for the treasure to be shown to others. And that's what your mindset ought to be. I am a vessel. And let's ask God to help us be vessels that we should be. Father, I pray that tonight you would encourage us to be the vessels who rightly show your power and the excellence of that power. Lord, thank you that you would even use us to declare what your plans are to a world around us. Help us to respond correctly when people, perhaps in that darkness, might interact with us in frustration or hatred. Help us even, Lord, with those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would shine the light of Christ with them, and that they would also, by our manifesting Christ, be encouraged to do the same. And in all of that, we will praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.